Policing in America has become so politicized. If you're on the right, you're probably finding yourself saying back to blue. If you're on the left, there's a good chance that you're finding yourself saying defund the police. Which side is correct? Should we be backing the blue? Giving it our full support? Giving them our full support? Or should we be defunding the police? Completely doing away with all policing? And criticizing them for the actions of a few? These are the questions that we need to answer. But we need to talk to someone who wears the badge. Someone who understands what it's like to be a cop in America. And not just anyone. Someone who has a unique situation of both being black and being a cop. How does it feel to tell for people to tell you that you are no longer black because you're blue? Let's rock and roll, guys. So today we have a special guest with us, one of my friends, a person I get to work with all the time as well with Blexit. He's also a current police officer, and he has a very interesting story. I mean, just can really share details a little bit about what it's like to work in that field and also hear all the things that are being said right now. Again, policing has become so politicized. So I am so proud to welcome Antoine Thomas. Antoine, how are you today?
I'm doing well, brother. I hope you are, Pierre.
I am. I'm so excited to have you on. Matter of fact, you are the first guest for season 3. How does it feel? You're number one on season 3. First guest I've had.
I'm excited. I'm ecstatic. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm very delighted to be here.
I think it's so important to have this conversation, too. I mentioned in my opening that, you know, you have a lot of noise right now, right? Like a lot of shouting. Everybody's saying either back to blue or defund the police, but not enough people are sitting down and having a conversation, right? An adult conversation about really what it's like to be a police officer right now. So, you know, I want to jump right into it, if you don't mind. You know me. I'm going to get right in.
Oh, yeah. Let's go.
So first of all, tell everybody a little bit about what you do. Obviously, you're a cop, but just go into detail a little bit more, you know, whatever you can, obviously.
Absolutely. I'm a police officer here in North Carolina in the county of Johnston. And I've been a police officer now for 12 years. I started out when I was 21, and I've been able to work my way up the ranks, still some other things to do in law enforcement. It's so much excitement centered around law enforcement, so much to do when you look at patrol, investigations, admin, what we call administration. So there's so much to do in police work. It's not just arresting people, not just helping a falling grandmother off the floor. It's so much more working in schools and mentoring kids to showing up at birthday parties. So the sky's the limit, I always say, law enforcement. And I'm just glad to be a part, and I still love it. It's still the greatest profession on earth.
The fact that you said that you've been a cop since 21, I mean, you've obviously put in a lot of work in this field. One of the things I shared also in my opening was that I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, because again, you have the experience, right? But I feel like there was a time where, you know, police officers were respected. The men and women in blue were respected. It seems like now it's almost normal for some people, at least on the left, to trash police officers. And I remember feeling like police officers are heroes. I still do. But I remember when America felt that way as well. What does it feel like for you? And was there a time where police officers were more respected? Do you feel like it is a huge difference? Or do you kind of feel like you've always felt like you guys weren't appreciated?
Well, I can tell you that my career spun off in 2010, and I worked for a fairly small town. Now you look at it, it's grown by leaps and bounds. Chiquay, Barina, North Carolina. And I can tell you that when I started there, police was well respected, still is to a certain degree, but the climate started changing, I would say about 6 years or so ago, to what we see now. We really had never heard even the words of defund the police. That was never on the radar. But definitely up until this point, it has become a disrespected profession. Seems like that the public is losing trust for whatever reason it may be, in my opinion, obviously due to the media. But there has always been folks that supported the police definitely during holidays. You can see the support when churches and communities bring in food and, you know, just all types of things, especially during the Thanksgiving time, to say, look, we appreciate you. We know you may not even be able to spend this day with your family, so we want to do this for you. Well, you could always count on those particular groups to do that every year. And you also could show up at a drive-thru Starbucks or McDonald's all the way through a Chick-fil-A, and someone in front of you or behind you would buy your food. So there's still respect out here, but I will say that it's becoming a little bit far-fetched and in between, but the people that really understand what's going on, they really stopped this. I actually had it happen today. A gentleman, two older gentlemen flagged me down. I was working on duty, flagged me down, and I thought, oh Lord, here we go. I thought they had a complaint for me, but actually they said, oh no, we just want to say thank you for what you're doing. We understand your job's tough, keep it up. So there's still good people out there, absolutely.
That's encouraging. That's encouraging because, you know, if you go by what the media is saying, it just seems like there's nothing but hate for you guys, you know? So so it's encouraging to know that people are out there and they still show support for you guys. I mean, I think in general, people need to step back. Even the ones who don't agree with, you know, the way policing is done right now, just step back for a moment and take yourself out of your own shoes and try to put yourself into the shoes of a cop. And that's part of the reason why you're on this show today. The things that you guys do and the way that you guys in many ways, I mean, put your lives on the line, I think it deserves a level of respect that we should never go below. Like, I'm a pretty bold person. I'm someone who is confident. I'm someone who will take on almost anything. And even the thought sometimes of policing and the neighborhood some of you guys have to go into situations that you have no idea what it's going to end up like, you know? I sit here and I'm like, man, could I do that? You know what I mean? And so I just feel like it breaks my heart. It hurts me when I sit here and I see the disrespect, especially because there are some really good officers. So one of the things I talked about in my first episode was I said, you know, you're never going to get rid of bad people. When people talk about bad cops, and well, first of all, do you agree that there may be some bad cops out there?
I definitely agree. And I remember that episode, Pierre. I had an opportunity to listen to that, and it was well laid out. You did an awesome job on that.
I appreciate that. I really, really do. And I one of the things I shared, too, on that was, like, there are going to be bad people in every profession. I always mention this. There is a show, literally a show on Netflix called Nurses Who Kill, okay, that talk about the cases of nurses who are just horrible people and play with people's lives, you know? There's bad teachers. You know what I'm saying? There's bad people in every profession. And unless you get rid of bad people in the world, you are never going to rid every profession, including policing or police officers, of bad people. It's just a reality. But my opinion, to penalize hardworking cops, people who put on the badge and just want to do right by their communities every single day, I feel like it's completely wrong. And you look at some of these situations that have happened. I mean, like the young lady, Micaiah Bryant, I mean, obviously, you know, I stand behind that cop. I think he did the right thing. And if that was my daughter, she was going to get ready to stab. You know, I would be very thankful that he saved my daughter's life, too. So I stand with that cop. But I want to say, just imagine they sent a therapist out there. You know what I mean? Whatever they're talking about, we're going to send a therapist, you know, instead of a cop. Okay, so she's going to be over here. Please stop. No, let's talk about this. Sit on my couch. What is she going to, what is he or she going to do, like, in that situation? What are your thoughts on that when they say defund the police with therapists or and put, you know, counselors in place? What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, even if we break it down all the way to a first responder. So a first responder, and Pierre, I know for a fact you know this, but to our listeners, a first responder makes up the police officer, fire, and EMS. Most times you find that police and fire arrive most times before EMS due to their geographical layout. They could be far away or handling other things. And so usually you see that firehouses are within the town. You see that, you know, all the time you look at your big cities, like where you're located, you can find multiple firehouses around that area. And that's strategically set up that way to be able to get from one call to the next. And the police is sort of set up the same way. There's always a police nearby. So we usually respond to those calls first, whether it's even a house fire. We most times get there before EMS, right? But when you look at the fact that, let's just take for instance, we have a barricaded subject in the house too, and the person has stabbed the female, males holding the knife at the throat. I can tell you that EMS is not going in that house, no matter how seriously injured that woman is, until police officers show up and make that area safe, right? So I'm saying that to say, no social worker who's not trained, they don't carry a weapon, they don't have access to a ballistic vest, they're not going in. Well, the person in the right mind is not going into a situation where they know harm is at. We see that the left is saying that's going to happen. It's not happening. I don't know anybody who's going to put their lives on the line who didn't sign up to do that other than police officers. So that's a false narrative. I don't see it happening. It's never going to happen unless somebody's just straight up looking to, I don't know, go on a bucket list challenge or something. you know what I mean? I just don't see it happening because it's a dangerous job. And we're from one call to the next. We never know what the next call may bring. Being a police officer too, Pierre, not to get off subject, it's an adrenaline dump because you're going from murder scene to rescuing a baby who's choking, or, you know, you're going from rescuing a baby who's choking to going to now to have lunch, sitting at the lunch table, having lunch, right, with your fellow coworkers. All of a sudden, you get a robbery. Well, guess what happens? We don't continue eating lunch. We jump up and go to that robbery. So it's ever evolving, always something, never knowing what's next. So I don't see any type of person who's not trained getting in a car and going to a call to assist the police when guns, knives, anything to affect are involved. I don't see it.
I mean, I think it just speaks again to what we were just talking about a minute ago. It's the unpredictability of the job. You can go from, like you just said, from a dangerous situation as like a murder scene, right? Like to rescuing a baby, and you have to switch, I'm assuming, right? You got to switch modes really quick.
Absolutely. You got to switch quickly. You hit it right on the nail. It has to be done quickly, leaving your emotions out, feelings out. It's got to be done.
You know, and one of the things I wanted to also ask you about, because I think in addition to the animosity that the left has, you know, felt towards, and I'm going to say some, I always try to be fair on my show. I know there are some on the left who do not want to defund the police, who do still support police officers. So I want to be very, you know, I want to acknowledge that. I want to be fair. I try to be fair. You know me, Antoine.
Yes, sir, you do.
But I, you know, a lot of people on the left, from what we're hearing from the media and just what we're seeing on social media, and some of the more vocal and outspoken politicians, especially at some of the local levels, are speaking about defunding the police. But one of the things I heard, and I had a particular personal experience with someone who felt this way after the Blexit Chattanooga rally that we did back in April. Mm-hmm. By the way, guys, for my listeners who are listening, Blexit Alabama, specifically Blexit Birmingham, is coming up June 27th. Doing tickets. We have a ticket link ready to go next month. We will announce all of that on social media as well as my show, so keep a lookout for it. But back to the subject.
I love it. Can't wait for it. Cannot wait.
It's going to be a good time. We always have a good time at Blexit rallies, right?
We have a blast.
But particularly after the Blexit Chattanooga rally, there was a guy. I'm not going to say his name. I'm going to go ahead and give him respect right now and not say his name. But we were talking, you know, before rallies, I try to recruit people who have an opposite view, have an opposite view of kind of what we feel. We want them to come. We want them to see the show. We want them to be able to judge based off the facts and not just what they're hearing from the news media, right? So we always invite people. We try to extend that hand. Well, this person, during our conversation leading up to the rally, he was talking a lot about policing in America. And I asked him a very direct question because he kept, I feel like, throwing out little darts, basically trying to say, if you're a cop, you're not with them. So I said, so do you feel that way about black cops? He said, even more so. He said, they're not black anymore, they're blue. How do you feel about that comment? Because he's not the first person that I've heard say that, and I've actually seen things like that on social media. I've seen a lot of Black Lives Matter people say that now. If you sign up to be a cop, you're no longer black. You know, you're blue. You're one of them. As if being a police officer is its own race or something now. Right? Like, how do you feel when people say things like that?
Man, Pierre, these are great questions. And I feel like he was sitting in our conversation today. I talked about this very thing today with some of my fellow coworkers. And breaking all the way down, again, I told you I started my police career, really hit off in 2010. And I worked in a small, fairly small town. Again, I told you it's grown now. Well, I was the only black police officer, young police officer. We had one that was close to retirement, so I was basically the only black police officer, male-wise, at this precinct, or I should say police department in general. And you see that all really around the country, the profession of a police officer is predominantly white male, right? Black and females, whether it's Hispanic, it doesn't matter, we make up the minority portion of that. So we're always outnumbered when, if you look at it from a race standpoint. So needless to say, I said all that to say that at the end of the day, I've heard this time and time again. I actually mentioned it, that I'm going to hear it again. And again, this I've heard this since 2010, that I'm working for the white man, and I'm following white law. There is no black. Like you said, you're blue. Y'all are all the same. You take off the badge, you're not a black person, you know, when you're in that uniform. I've heard it all. Of course, the Uncle Tom has been thrown out many of times, but you hear that as a, and it's very ignorant, actually. It doesn't matter if it's coming from a white, black, or Hispanic person. It's an ignorant statement to say that all of you are blue, because at the end of the day, so the thin blue line is what people sometimes refer to. I know you've seen those stickers with the black outline with the line going through it, the blue. We call it the thin blue line. What that means is our brotherhood is tight, and it's only a few people outside of that line that we can trust, and we try to hold the line. So we consider the brothers and sisters a part of that line, right? So it's a thin line of us, right? That's what we refer to. You got my back, I have yours. So we definitely believe that, but at the end of the day, I can't speak for any other police officer, but when I'm out of that uniform, I'm Antoine Thomas. I'm actually Antoine Thomas in a uniform, but I'm in a whole different demeanor, right? Because I'm sworn to uphold the law and make sure I'm doing my job when it comes to investigating or, you know, taking bad people off the streets, right?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I'm human. And at the end of the day, I'm black.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I bleed red just as well as a white person, right? So that's an ignorant statement. I'm used to it, unfortunately, but I hear it quite often.
Yeah, I think since they continue to push this narrative and say, like, if you wear the badge, you're blue, it doesn't matter what your race is and stuff like that, I think the underlying thing here, and what I feel like is important, is that it's just another way to try to separate everybody. I mean, even if, I mean, you look at black and white, right? It doesn't matter if a person's white, it doesn't matter if a person's black. At the end of the day, we're all Americans, we're all children of God, right? Like, there's more that unites us than that doesn't unite us. And I think trying to say, because you wear a uniform, that you're somehow different. No, you are a human being just like anyone else, even if it was a different race, white, black, Hispanic, or whatever. But again, cops are not a different race. I just want people who keep saying that to understand that there is no blue race, all right? Like, but correct, they keep throwing it in there like it's his own race. But even, like, I'm just pointing out, even if it was, it still should not be something that divides us. We are all Americans at the end of the day. You guys are here to protect and serve, and you guys do that. I hate that a lot of the negative things that happen, or the situations that the media thinks will, you know, rouse up, you know, liberal America, they tend to show that. But all the amazing things you guys do, I see it every day on my timeline, thankfully, because I follow a lot of conservatives who do, you know, try to promote the wonderful things that cops do every single day that easily outnumber whatever the media says is bad. But it's just that the mainstream media doesn't really like to cover those things because it doesn't fit the narrative. But the bigger thing that I want to get at is that we need to be more focused on loving and respecting each other. Like, someone asked me, you know, how would you feel if white people were like, I love being white, I love my culture? I told them, I would be like, good for you. Am I supposed to be upset about that? Is that supposed to make me feel some kind of way that they love being white? That's okay. I mean, I'm not mad about that. You know what I mean? Like, how is that racist to me? Black people do that all the time. You know, they celebrate culture, and I hear my black friends and stuff all the time saying, like, oh, I love being black, and this is black, or you wouldn't understand this unless you were black, and black, black, black. I'm like, what's the problem with them doing that? It does not mean that they're against black people. And I'm saying that to say, with cops, you guys have a brotherhood, a sisterhood, you guys take care of each other, but it does not mean that you are against black America or white America or America as a whole. It is okay to have these brotherhoods, these sisterhoods, these culture movements or whatever within America. At the end of the day, we just need to realize that we are all Americans, though, you know?
I totally agree with that, Pierre. I agree totally with that.
I do want to share something, though, because I do like to hit some hardcore facts. And I do like to talk directly from some sources and some things. And one of the things that I saw, and this is from the Baltimore Sun, I wanted to bring up a local area paper, because I don't want people saying Pierre's just spitting out stuff. No, this is actually from the Baltimore Sun. Okay. They mentioned a lot about what I talked about a lot in episode one, and I've talked about in previous seasons, about how Black America in general, we have to do better, and that a lot of the crime and things that is happening in our community comes at the hands of our own. So this is a direct quote. This is the article that came out in 2020 from the Baltimore Sun. It says, the reality is that homicides in major cities, including Baltimore, are not race neutral. Of the more than 300 people killed in the streets of Baltimore last year, just about all of them were African Americans. The shooters, killers, were most likely Black as well. This is a devastating plague affecting Black communities across the country. They continue to say, we must realize that some Black people are a much greater threat to other Black people than the Ku Klux Klan or the white citizens' councils. The number of Blacks gunned down in the streets by other Blacks parallels our memories of many Blacks lynched in communities across the United States after Reconstruction. This is a devastating plague affecting Black communities again across the country. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, when you look at that, at the end of the day, we know there's a lot of Black on Black crime. And I think what helps the narrative continue to be pushed is using the white police officer. If you notice, they're not saying, there goes the deal. Our community's not saying Black police officers are killing Black people.
Right.
They're using what is going to always divide us, like you talked about, a white person. And again, it goes back to what I was saying, predominantly in the law enforcement profession around the country, you can look up statistics on it, will be that a white male is usually dominating the profession, right? So they use that to help divide, because that is the most egregious job right now, where obviously we see that people are dying. It happens because of the nature of the business, right?
Yeah.
Somebody commits a crime, they try to get away. Either they try to kill the officer first, or the officer has a justified reason to shoot or kill them to stop the threat.
Yeah, sorry. And I was going to say, just to cut you off really quick, I think that's an important point. You just mentioned something that I think is worth, like, really pointing out. We do not talk enough about the fact that cops lose their lives, too, defending us. You know, cops lose their lives. They put their lives on the line all the time to defend us. I think that's such an important point. But sorry, go ahead.
No, you're 100% right. Matter of fact, and you probably are aware of this website, Pierre, but at some point we both shared when we were not on this interview. It's called Officer Now Memorial Page, and I get alerts all the time on my phone with many other people, even outside the law enforcement profession, that keeps up with this stuff. It is a national page that it lets us know when the officer's killed in the line of duty. And if you want to look at those rates, it'll show you the percentage of deaths as we speak. Of course, most of the time it's going to be automobile wrecks, because obviously the nature of our business is driving. So we do get into quite a few wrecks, whether that's going to emergency call, somebody, you know, running into us, whatever it may be. And then the next one is die by guns, okay? And when you look at the percentage, I think last time I checked, we're up 40% more than what we were last year. So the numbers are extremely high this year, and it's always being updated, and you can always keep up with those numbers. It'll bring you all the way back and up until I think it goes like 40 years back, and wow. It'll bring you up to speed up until 2021. Of all the deaths that we've had in 40 years or more, I mean, I could be off,
yeah.
But at the end of the day, you will find, I guarantee you, go to this site, you're going to be amazed at what you find. But see, the media is never going to bring that up. More police officers die at the hands of a Black male than actually a white male killing the Black male police officer.
Wow. Are you able to share that again with the listeners? Because I think that would be great for everyone to go check that out. Is that something you can share again, the site?
Absolutely. It is called Officer Now Memorial Page. If you type in that www.odmp.org, I believe it is, you will pull that up. And it is kept up to date. You'll see, I'm sorry to say, I'm sure there was an officer killed today. I mean, it's unfortunate. And again, you see a lot of deaths, too, because of COVID. But outside of COVID, gunfire is probably right now the second or if not number one, which I'm sad to report that. But it'll keep you up to date, and you'll find yourself very amused by what the numbers are, because they're very much misconstrued that cops are killing, I'll just say, citizens in general.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I didn't even know about that, so I'm gonna have to check that out too. And the fact that you said it's up 40%, wow. I mean, the media, it just proves that the media can push whatever narrative it wants, which is so dangerous when it's not the truth. But before we actually let you go, I want to talk. I have a couple questions. We got some questions from people that they wanted to ask. So I wanted to throw some on you. So question time. And for my listeners who are listening, obviously, I want you guys to get used to this, because we're going to do this every episode now. We're going to do a questions and answer period. And I'm so glad that Antoine is here. I think, you know, again, this is one of the most important subjects that we can talk about. And I'm just thrilled that we have this opportunity to have him on to answer some of these questions. A lot of these questions are going to be fun questions, though. They're going to be kind of some softballs, but really, I think things that people really don't know and they want to know. So hopefully you can have fun with it. But the first one, the first one says, what's your favorite thing about the job?
My favorite thing about the job, number one, I believe, and so we have a saying in law enforcement, and I believe it may have derived from the military. It's called squared away, and you learn that in the academy. What that is squared away, your uniform to your car, making yourself look sharp. I'm all about the image, right? Because I was trained, most of us are trained, well, we should be trained that way, that the image perceives itself. Because when you look squared away, meaning you look great, people, first of all, take you serious. And they can believe and trust what you're saying, you know, compared to a sloppy police officer with stains all over his shirt, you know. That's very important. So I take pride in that, because I believe that's true, and that's the way I was trained. So it starts with the uniform. I love to look sharp in my uniform, the best of my ability, right? I've gained a little COVID weight, but outside of that,
I think we all did.
yeah, it looked pretty decent. But the best part of the job is to be able to go in and get your call, whether it's your first call of the day, and to have confidence that you're gonna try to bring the best outcome of that call, and to leave that call with a peaceful resolution. Because what I found out in my 12 years, when someone's calling the police, they're not necessarily calling the police to have somebody arrested. They're calling the police to have their issues resolved, because they cannot resolve it themselves.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. That's good. I didn't even know that. So that's interesting. So you guys probably get a lot of random calls, which is actually going to lead me into my next question. It's a question on here that says, what's the craziest call you've ever gotten?
Craziest call I have ever gotten. That's a good one. I've had a, when I was a young officer, I had my dispatcher call me from the office, because I was in the office. She called me from my number and said there was a woman wanting to get in touch with me to follow up about a report that I had taken the larceny at Walmart. And she gave me the dates and times. Didn't ring a bell. Put all it together. Actually, the lady thought I was cute and she wanted my number. Yeah. And so she, I wouldn't say she filed a false police report. When you look at it, it was teetering on the line. But that was in my younger days. I doubt anybody now will be wanting, again, COVID weight, right, to talk to me on that level. But I will say that's the most I can throw out at the moment. I'm sure it's been the crazy calls. We get all kinds of stuff on a daily basis. You just never know what you're going to get.
Let me find out people in America out here using the police line for a hotline.
They're using the hotline. I think more now we may have our tenders and things more abreast, so they don't need that. But
wait, it might be. Is there a police officer Bumble?
Hey, listen, if that's not one, we might want to add it. Because listen, police officers need love too, you know?
All right, so my next question that came from my list. This is Bobby. Bobby says, how often, it says, how do you de-stress from the job?
Well, you know what? That's also a great question. So typically when we're getting ready to end our shift in a new squad that we call, right, people that are getting to leave us, whether you're working nights, you know, your 12-hour shift, working all the way up. Usually the shift starts at 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., right, if you're working day shift. Night shift is 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. So let's just take the day shift. Our relief, who's going to be working the night shift from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., come on. We usually go ahead and give a debriefing, and we talk about our day. You never know what random things we have to talk. Cops have interesting minds, right? So we digress from there, usually starting right there at the PD. And from there, I head home, man. And let me tell you, Pierre, when I get out of my uniform, I'm no longer the police in my mind. Now, I am required to at least carry a gun in most places, right? But if I'm outside of my jurisdiction, I don't really have any authority. And I'm in citizen mode, be honest with you. Matter of fact, when a cop gets behind me, I'm just as nervous as you are when you're getting stopped or behind or police officers back of you. So I go into my citizen mode, and I just try to remember that that's my job. But when I'm off, I want to live a peaceful life, you know, and try to get out of that mindset. Now, some things you just never get out of. You know, I'm constantly always scanning, you know, I'm constantly always making sure, and I'm merging, even merging in lanes, I'm doing it safely, thinking about what the other three cars are going to do. But these are things that have been instilled in my brain and I can't get it out. But as far as being the police, I try to leave it at work, because when I'm off, I want to enjoy it.
That's awesome.
And I always recommend that to new officers that I'm, so I happen to be a training officer, which means I train new police officers that come on the force. And I can tell you, I always tell them to make sure that you have your depression moments, and you get out of the mindset of a police officer. Now, I would say being a rookie police officer, this is very hard to do that. But when you've been in the game for a few years, you find your outlets. And a lot of police officers, believe it or not, they have hobbies. And a lot of their hobbies, for some reason, is cutting grass.
Probably calming. Yeah. It's probably calming to go out there, you know. Nature, just let it
makes sense.
Yeah, let the sun hit you, relax, probably put some headphones in, cut that grass. Yeah, I can see that.
Get into the happy moment. Yeah, I never thought of it that way, but that makes a lot of sense there. Yeah.
Well, look, we got one more question for you, and then, you know, we'll wrap up. I know you have worked a long day, guys. I want you guys to know, as you listen to this episode, Antoine actually worked today, and then he did this. So, you know, kudos for that. But the next question, actually,
I'm honored to do it.
It's a pleasure to have you. It says, anything that you would change about the job, and it says from your department to the federal. I guess they mean from a federal level as well.
Anything I would change about my job? That's a very interesting question, tough question too. But what I would say, I would change the way the politics are involved in my job, meaning town council and the powers that be that are higher than the police chief, right? Or the powers that be that are higher than the sheriff, who makes our decisions as far as are we getting budgets or if we're not getting budgets, right? But if I look at it from the police standpoint, changing the politics of that, believe it or not, they make the job harder than the job actually should be. And I think if we could change that, and especially in 2021, you'll find that the defunding the police and, you know, police officers being fired due to them getting on their own social media and speaking out, all that'll change. And I think that's the worst part about the job. We're being silenced. And I definitely disagree with that.
Yeah. You guys have a right to the First Amendment as well. So, yeah.
I agree.
Well, Antoine, look, it's a pleasure. It was an absolute pleasure having you on. Tell us about what you got coming up. I know you have a new show coming out, and I know you also are the Blexit Grassroots Director. I mean, talk to us about whatever you want to share before we wrap up here.
Well, first, let me say, Pierre, it has been a pleasure and an honor. Obviously, all your listeners know that you are the national director, and I give you shout-outs and kudos all the time, and I always say that it started with you when you look at the chapter side of Blexit, and for you to have the vision that you have, but also to see the potential in everyone. I started off not even really being a member, and you saw potential to bring me on as a state director of North Carolina last year, now sit at the helm of your leadership as the grassroots director. You have given me three promotions since in the whole year, and I would say that's due to you being the leader that you are. But another part that I want to say is that Blexit backs the blue, and I appreciate that, all the way up to Candace and Brandon, to you, Pierre, that you would spend the time, take out the time to allow us to do what we're doing now. You actually, most people don't know this, but you went around the state setting up ride-alongs with different precincts because we believe that much in backing the blue, and we believe that police are essential, right? But when you look at the podcast show that I'm getting ready to launch, it all was inspired by you. I've always had a vision to do it. I've had some of our family members right here in Blexit say, you ought to start a podcast. And I said, well, someday. And what inspired me was when I saw that you were releasing your second season of your show. I think your third, is this your third season?
Third season, yep.
Your third season of your show. And I reached out and said, Pierre, I'm thinking about doing it. And your encouraging words were, do it, and if you need my help, I'm there. Because I believe now, I consider myself, I always say that I'm one of the outspoken voices of the police profession, because I just spoke about a second ago that we're being silenced. And a lot of cops, unfortunately, are afraid to speak up. And I've lost a very job that I really loved the most, being a sheriff's deputy. I lost my job behind speaking up and being a outspoken conservative. So I'm willing to stand up even further. And so this is all God's leading me to do this show. I know it's going to be controversial moments, but I believe now that every profession has an outlet, right? Except for the police. Nobody's really speaking up. Now, there are some out there speaking up, but I'm saying just going out and fully making it a show, sitting around police. And that's what the show is going to be about. It's called Real Talk with Antoine Thomas. And my plan is to, Pierre, at some point, to bring on police officers and some citizens as well. And I want to duplicate and reciprocate what you're doing, bring you on the show and talk about these police matters. But I believe it's time to rise up and speak up.
I love what you're doing with the show, too. I think, you know, you can actually, hey, you can use this show as the launching pad for that show, right? Like you know how they do, you know how they do in seasons when they're getting ready to do a spinoff show of from the season. They play the first episode of the spinoff in the current season of whatever show it's spinning off from. Here you go. Here's your spinoff. No, but I think, you know, just to be serious about it too, I think it's so important that you're doing that because, again, I obviously in my show, I hit different topics every week, but this topic is so important that it really needs a conversation consistently. And you're going to do that. You're going to bring that to the mainstream, which is exactly what we need. We need to be able to hear it also from a perspective and from a voice like yours. You're going to give us the truth. And for my listeners who are listening, I can tell you about Antoine. Like he's going to be fair. You know, if something's not right, he's going to call it out no matter what side it is. But at the same time, I think it is certainly worth subscribing to his show once it launches, because he is going to give you a perspective that you're just not getting right now from, you know, mainstream America. So very proud of you. I know the show is going to be a success. I'll be glad to come on, but more importantly, I'll be listening each week anyway.
I really appreciate it, Pierre, but to say the same for you, I'm very proud of you, and God is taking you places you never even thought that you would go, and you're doing an amazing job, and I'm glad to serve alongside of you, and I'm excited to see what you have going on next, because it's not the end of it, and I'm just excited to be with Blexit and just a part of this movement, part of the time now in 2021, even though the world's going crazy, I believe we're getting ready to take it back, and we're going to be able to do some great things on our side. So I'm excited about it.
Absolutely. And thank you again, Antoine, for being on. For my listeners, you guys can catch the next episode of the Pierre Wilson Show next week. Of course, every Thursday it drops at midnight. You guys can listen while you're going to bed. If you're a night owl like myself, you guys can listen on your early morning stroll to work, while you're doing your jog, while you're drinking your coffee, maybe at lunchtime, and whatever you want to listen to, just turn it on and take a listen. And I thank you guys for being consistent. Viewership is up. I keep saying viewership. I'm giving it away that we're going to be doing some live episodes. We're going to be doing some live ones soon. But listenership is up week over week, and I appreciate that, you guys. So until next week, take care, and we'll be blessed. You be blessed, Antoine.
You be blessed. Thank you for the opportunity.